Why are you bothered by holdouts? Not just you, everybody. Why are you bothered by holdouts? And I get it if your answer is, no, I just don't like holdouts because, like, it means players not playing. But in general, whenever I hear, I feel it's very selective when we get upset at a player for a holdout. And like, yes, maybe it's just because of the emotion around our team. Like, if you are a 49er fan, you're upset. I can't tell you how many calls have we taken from people who are like, dude, you signed a contract. Show up. You signed it. So did Terry McLaurin. He was not on a rookie deal. Terry McLaurin had already been paid millions and millions and millions of dollars. But he didn't want to go to camp this year, and he didn't, and he got broken off again.
Right. You think Washington fan was upset about that?
I mean, I would bet. I have no idea. I didn't hear much of that. McLaurin is a fan favorite out there. I saw him at camp every day, and instead of practicing, he was signing autographs.
Right.
I bet the fans were thrilled with it.
There are levels to this, and that's partly...
That's what I want to know. Who's the bad guy? Juwan Jennings, is he not good enough? Was it because the deal was just last year? Like, what is it?
Yeah, it's both of those things.
Because they're all under... They all signed a contract, all of them.
Right. They all signed a contract. If not, they're free agents in football. And, you know, when you get to the Trent Williams situation, and he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the best left tackles in the history of the game, he gets a certain amount of gravitas that Juwan Jennings has not earned off of one good year. And part of it for me is also the fact that he signed a contract, an extension last May, that was, at the time, that was a very nice extension. He hadn't yet earned, I don't think, that level of money. He'd been good third in Juwan.
Yeah, they liked him. He was
There's a reason why he didn't get more money last offseason. It's because that is about where his market value was.
Brother, he might have been the MVP of the Super Bowl had they won it.
Sure.
He might have been. Like, he's, you know what I mean? I think that, like, is there a little bit of a Draymond Green thing in there where it's like, oh, you never put up huge stats, but if you're a Niner fan, you know. And you knew before last year that he was good.
Sure, he's good, yeah.
We didn't know he was that good. He's better than, I mean, I didn't think he could be a 1,000-yard receiver.
And he wasn't, but, and I know
close
it's semantics because he would have been, but if you want to rank all the receivers in football, and this is not using fantasy stats,
sure,
he's the 45th highest paid receiver. Is he a top 20 receiver? Probably not. Is he top 30? Maybe.
Yeah.
I put him in that 31 to 40 range. And so when you look at what he's making the 45th most money on average annual. And, you know, Tutu Atwell is making $10 million. Do you want to bump him up to $10 million?
He's better than Tutu Atwell.
Well, Tutu Atwell is better at, you know, going deep and being a vertical threat for that offense. And this is where it becomes difficult because every offense needs different receivers to do different things. And the Niners need Juwan Jennings to be physical, to block in that, you know, the two wide receiver sets that they run a lot of. So replacing him is going to be hard, but for me, it just rubs me a little bit the wrong way when you sign a deal just, you know, basically 16, 15 months ago.
I get it.
And now you want to come back and get more.
I get it. But then again, like, and here's my thing. I'm not taking Juwan's side. I'm just taking neither side. Like, I don't blame him for asking, and largely it's because of culture. This is the NFL culture. The league set this up. Every time someone goes, hey, is a team allowed to not pay you if you don't play well? Yes, they are. They're basically able to get out of these deals whenever they want. They're not guaranteed deals. So, yes, this is the way an NFL player fights for himself when he does outplay his deal, knowing that unfortunately this sport does not allow for the idea of, hey, I just signed a deal, and even though I outplayed it, I'm going to bet on myself, and we'll do this again next year when I'm a free agent. Well, you know what? Your ACL may be in tatters. Like, it's too physical. So that's the reason I support a player at least asking. Now, I'm not saying he should miss games. I don't think he will. That's reserved for the Trent Williams of the world,
right,
who completely went to war with Washington. And I give him an extra sort of flyer on that one because Washington's owner was one of the worst human beings on the face of planet Earth.
Different situation.
So it is a different situation. But in general, this is how business is done in the NFL when you outplay your deal, because it's the same way that the teams handle it when
When you underperform, I get that. He got 8.4 guaranteed at signing. The only money that's not guaranteed are the $3 million, $3.5 million in escalators based on how much he plays and how well he plays this year. So I'm sure at the root of this is Juwan looking at that $3.5 million that he has to work hard to earn. He probably wants that guaranteed and maybe a little bit more. I don't know what the details are, but you look at what he actually did get, and he got $8.5 million, and he went out and outperformed it. So, sure, come back, ask for more money. You're always allowed to do that. I will put some of the blame on the Niners to this point, which is the notion that they have to win every deal. And we've known that for both to stretch it all the way
competitive,
out. Ayuk all the way out. They want to win the deal. And again, we don't know what he's asking for and what the team is countering with. The team might be saying, you get nothing, like they did to Mooney Ward. Mooney said, I want what they're having. And they said, nah, we're not going to do that. And so he was in his feelings all year, and he ended up going elsewhere. So we don't know where this is on that line, that timeline, but I do know this. The Niners have found a way to have a lot of these stretch out into late August and early September.
And I don't think that's a win for anyone. Like, Juwan's not going to miss games. He's not going to sit out games. There's not enough money at stake here. That's just a terrible, terrible. If he does that, his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, is a moron. So he's not going to do that, but he can stretch it all the way to week one and make it disadvantageous for the 49ers on the field. And that's just
Already at that point, I would say.
Let's go to John in the city here on Willard and Dibs. Hey, John, thank you for the call. What are you doing?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
What's up?
Hey, so, Mark, am I understanding correctly that what you're thinking is if one guy gets to do it, then it sets the precedent that any of the guys get to do it? Is that kind of like your take on this?
No, my take is that the cat's already out of the bag on that, John. This is how NFL players do it. It happens around the league all the time, and it's based on non-guaranteed deals and an overly physical sport. So I'm not taking only the player's side. I'm just understanding that when you see leverage, you strike, you try. So I have no problem with him asking. But I don't know what he's asking for. I said that yesterday. I don't know whose side to take until I know what he's asking for. I'm just not going to blindly come down on the team side, though, just because someone signed a contract. That's all.
Sure. And, I think that the deals that get prolonged in training camp, these guys rarely then go out and have a better season than what they're negotiating on. But I was listening to a podcast recently that Lou Williams was on, NBA player.
Yeah.
And he was talking about he was on a team with Kevin Ollie, former UConn coach who was in the NBA, who was his vet. And Allen Iverson walks in the gym late, whatever, and Kevin Ollie pulls Lou Williams aside and says, hey, young guy, the rules aren't the same for everyone. The rules that he plays by are not the rules that we play by. And I don't think the idea that Terry McLaurin or these other guys sitting out gives someone like Juwan Jennings, it's just not the same for these middle guys. Like, they shouldn't pay him. He shouldn't be sitting out. And they'll be fine without him. The difference between Terry McLaurin to the Commanders and Juwan Jennings to the Niners is vast. And I just don't think the rules are the same for these $30 million a year guys.
That's an interesting take, John. I actually don't. Here's what I'll say.
John.
I agree with you that Terry is a better player, a more accomplished player than Juwan, but I actually don't agree with the statement you just made there that his importance to the Commanders is vastly ahead of Jennings' importance to the Niners. The Commanders can play without Terry McLaurin. They've got Debo now. They've got some other receivers that they really like who are up and coming. McLaurin is very good. But he's not a superstar. He's not Micah Parsons. So, yes, there are levels to this.
Right.
But I just want to point out that what I hear a lot of people say is, dude, you signed a deal. And I'm like, that's true for all of them.
Well, there's like 20 other guys who are going to be free agents next year, and he's the only one of the Niners on all this list. He's the only one who's asking for more money.
Yeah, he's probably the only one who vastly outperformed his deal, and his positional market happened to go absolutely crazy over the last couple of years. So I get it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm not on his side. I want this thing done.